Happy birthday, dear madam. Happy birthday to you.
Ah, darling, you are so lovely to think of me. What's this?
Open it.
Oh, you've had my least favorite demon stuffed. It's perfect. I hated that vile little turd.
He can hear you, madam. He's still alive.
They're so hard to kill, you know.
Does he have a guest's eyeball in his mouth?
You're not just any old guest. A patron. Something, whatever.
Oh, how thoughtful.
Only the best for you, madam.
Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. Won't you come in, please? Mr. Darling has both of our fireplaces positively roaring tonight to take the chill out of the reading room. What's he burning in them? Just regular wood, like regular humans do. The smell. That's some herbs left over from the kitchen. The kitchen. That's why the smoke is red, probably. I am your heavenly host. Stop giggling, please. Miranda Merrick. Oh, and before I forget, there's midnight tea and a harmless little treat amusingly called demon cake on the hospitality tray that some of you will undoubtedly have a curious fondness for. And yes, we'll provide the recipe for it as closely as we can replicate it for you. When you received your invitation via our delivery crows with tonight's topic written in Mr. Darling's distinctive script, I knew this particular subject would draw a unique sort of person. And here you are. I also knew that this subject would cause certain other types of people to opt out, which is all the better to my way of thinking. Who needs those precious little shrinking violets anyway? I mean, other than for secret purposes. Tonight, we are happily gathered here to have a bit of harmless, informative fun with demons. The problem with demons is, well, there's tons of problems with demons, but the main problem is there are literally thousands of them, and they're all so interesting and busy. So, unfortunately, we've had to narrow down our narrative just a tick. But that's okay. We'll save the others for a future rainy day. We're flexible like that. Well, this is normally where I might share a small, personal, related story with you regarding our given subject. But I simply don't have anything to share, or to declare, or to admit to in any way, shape, or form. Nope. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. There may be a small, totally unrelated matter that I could address instead, in lieu of a personal story. As most of you know and are familiar with hearing me speak of her, Irma, our wee companion who lives here in the library, well, she happens to be a rare creature, an elf. She is too. Anyway, unless you've ever purchased some runes from her, you almost never see her around, as she's exceedingly shy. Irma was gifted to me when I reached a personal rite of passage by a downright magical uncle of mine, dear old Uncle Hanby. Irma is smart, fun, sweet, and indentured for all eternity. Recently, when she, Mr. Darling, and I all traveled to visit our dear friends, the Loremen, she became a tad homesick. She enjoyed being there as I entertained the lore men with a fine story. But afterward, she actually cried a few sad tears, saying that she missed seeing all of you, our beloved guests, here in the reading room. Isn't that endearing? All along, you've been an adored favorite of hers, without even knowing it. Maybe I can coax her out from behind my chair. Just a moment to wave hello. Irma? Sweetheart? Baby doll, come out a moment and wave your tiny hand at our guests. Oh, there we are. Why don't you whisper a little greeting? Go on.
Hello.
Good girl. Okay, well, let's go down, down, down where the demons dwell, shall we? They truly are the most fascinating beings that sadly many humans don't even believe exists. That's all right. In fact, it's probably preferred. Demons seem to have been with mankind since the dawn of our existence, no matter which explanation of man's existence you prefer. However, before humans were fully present, Bible texts assert that there was supposedly a war in heaven involving two differently minded groups of angels. The conflict was apparently over one group being unhappy with all of the oppressive rules, worship demands, hierarchy classifications, and one might guess work hours and work uniforms. It is said that there was such a clash of opposition that an all-out war broke out, during which those that wished to enjoy their own freedom of expression, with perhaps goth clothing and makeup and hairstyles and rock music and horror films, departed from those who played lullabies on harps while sitting on clouds eating grapes all day. Perhaps this is an oversimplification, but you get the point that the story conveys that there were once angels who, for probably countless reasons, thought that heaven was a bit too nice. These angels, who reportedly included Satan and his angels, were then kicked out of the heavenly realms and supposedly became demons. But we must also remember that we are receiving this version of the story from the Holy Host, who ejected the other angels in the first place. Sorry. My point is that demons are written about in such a way that they seem to have existed before humans arrived, and they are embedded in some fashion or another in every culture that has existed on the face of the earth. So whether we choose to believe in them or not, they have a major presence that has always been with us and will likely remain with us forever. There are simply thousands upon thousands of references to them in religious history, cultural history, music, art, literature, films, with reports of them interacting with gods, angels, animals, and everyday humans. Ah, they seem to be downright altruistic. Well, at least unbiased. As soon as we humans began writing, or at least writing in a permanent way that archaeologists and scholars could find and decipher in recent to present times, there have been documented writings and depictions of demons declaring their existence. Roughly 3,400 years before the Common Era, or a little over 5,000 years ago, the ancient Sumerians of Mesopotamia chronicled their knowledge of demons on cuneiform tablets, the damp clay slabs that were impressed with angled and wedge-like letters. And they didn't just casually mention the existence of a few demons. The Sumerians had classifications of them, which were basically understood to be one of three types. Spirits of dead humans that could not rest, half-human, half-demon beings, and demons on the same keel as gods and equally as powerful. Beyond this, there were subclasses of demons they wrote about. Just a few are the Uduk or Yukutu, mentioned in the Epic of Gilgamesh, shadowy demons found in deserted places that could be good, but the evil ones left poison in their wake and could deafen you with their voices, which seems counterproductive to me, but who am I to judge what demons do? The Ikumu, punishing demons who flew over the surface of the earth, looking for humans to inhabit or to torment, especially if they have improperly buried their dead or not made proper ritualistic offerings. And the Rabasu, demons said to be so hideously grotesque that they were kept in the realm of nightmares. These would absolutely be some of my favorites. If they existed. In an exciting recent find, an Egyptologist from Belgium has discovered what is believed to be that culture's oldest depiction of demons dating back to 4,000 years ago. The three demons before this visual discovery were only known by their written names, which were... I'm not afraid to say them. Intep, Cheribanut, and Inkenti. All three of these demons worked as willing wardens. Intep was shown as a kind of hybrid large dog and a baboon, who would rip or sever the head of any person who intruded upon or disrespected sacred places. Cheribanut was a demon with a nondescript body but with a human head, who fiercely guarded temples, and Inkenti, a demon with a body of a large bird and the head of a black cat. Inkenti was depicted as the sole guardian of a fiery gate that protected a hidden image of an unknown divinity of this ancient culture. The truth is that demonology is a classical field of study, and theologians from nearly all of the major religions have attempted to classify the myriad of demons in their own religions, as well as those of other religions. And this task has proven to be basically impossible due to such factors as misinterpretations in translations and gray areas where demons are both malevolent and benevolent, and the subtle mixing of historical writings of demons with that of mythological writings about demons. Personally, I suppose if it's possible that demons do exist, the fact that it's nearly impossible to group study and classify them is something that the demons very much enjoy. As joyfully torturing humans has long been a hallmark of their storied existence. And speaking of a storied existence, tonight's reading at the Midnight Library is proudly brought to you by Grimm's Grocers. So it's your little cherub's birthday, and it's way too hot to bake. Get to Grimm's Grocers right away. They have angel food cake. Grimm's has the most divine pastries. You'll think a saint has made them. Even the eggs are sweet and tasty, 'cause a holy chicken laid them. But if you have a different child, and you're a very different lady, You've been dark and you've been wild, and he's more of a Rosemary's baby. Grimms also has gruesome treats, repugnant, gross, and vile. Pies that smell of demon feet, filled with rancid bile. Grimms knows your hellion's every mood, and they know what to feed them. From beastly brownies to devil's food, Grimms is there when you need them. Grimm's special this week is Lilith's Alluring Lotion. Just a dab will do ya. Pounce it on your pulse points and it'll bring your desire to ya. Lilith's lotion will bring even the pickiest paramour to your parlor. No matter how atrocious you are, they'll fall magically under your love spell. Lilith's Alluring Lotion, now available in a 5-gallon drum, only at Grimm's Grocers on the corner of Vincent and Price. Now, earlier, when I mentioned the paring down of our demonic choices for tonight's lovely reading, I was also alluding to the pairing up of two iconic demons in particular. They are as old as written history, and they are known literally from time immemorial to be from Mesopotamia, Assyria, and Babylon. Both are fearsome, powerful, and vicious, and both have delightfully pleasing-sounding names. They are Pazuzu and Lamashtu. And apparently, in times long past, if you knew how demon politics worked, you could pit one demon against another to protect yourself and your children. First, let's be cordial and have some proper introductions. Brace yourself. Please meet the demon Pazuzu, a distinctly male demon, depicted in countless engravings, plaques, and amulets. He has a human-like body form and walks upright, but has two sets of massive feathered wings that anchor in his muscular back. His face is grotesque, somewhat canine in nature, with coarse features in a permanent expression of monstrous fury. Serpent scales cover his sturdy body, and his most male body part is that of a snake. From his calipigous backside, a scorpion's tail proudly protrudes. Upon his heavy hands and feet, he displays knife-like claws like that of a lion. So he's quite attractive, actually. In the most common engravings and figurines of him, he's shown with his right paw held upward, while his left paw is downward at his side. This pose is a clue to Pazuzu's domain. He is the king of the wind demons, often responsible for the destruction of crops. He is known for bringing wrecking storms, as well as the opposite, parching the lands by forcing long droughts to occur. He delights in watching people suffer from famine and failure. And as savage as Pazuzu sounds, his rival is far worse. I give you the demon Lamashtu, a most loathsome female demon, or perhaps group of female demons. One of her most confounding qualities is that she's so nebulous and unknowable in her terrible nature. The other is that her primary target of torture is that of her own kind, women. Disturbingly, pregnant women and babies. I have here the weird mix of characteristics that are attributed to Lamashtu. In sacred incantations, Lamashtu is often referred to as the Seven Witches. 7 names or titles that describe her lineage, origin, or range of powers are often included in the ancient inscriptions about her. The few engravings that portray her show her with a human-like female body, but with the head of a lion, or perhaps a bird, sometimes with the teeth and ears of a donkey. In some depictions, she kneels upon the back of a donkey. She holds aloft in each hand double-headed serpents. And most unsettlingly odd, Lamashtu is shown breastfeeding at once both a dog and a pig that stand upon their hind legs to acquire their sustenance. She is vastly powerful in her evil abilities, being capable of bringing deathly disease and illness by poisoning wells and streams. She can also appear in nightmares, a skill I myself find to be an asset. But her most cruel compulsion is one I shall attempt to deliver to you by way of a more merciful description, for it is one of the most feared and devastating happenings. Lamashtu the demon was said to have the ability to cause a woman to lose her unborn child. She crept into the houses of sleeping pregnant women, touching their bellies 7 times, causing the pregnancy to fail. Even if a child was born, they weren't completely safe from the satanic sabotage of Lamashtu. She could cause an infant or toddler to simply die in their crib. Some believed she secretly fed the babies her own poisonous milk, which killed them. Another side to Lamashtu? She's apparently bent toward vampirism, as she drained the blood from the mothers of the children she killed, as well as from men, sometimes emptying the bones of her victims of their marrow. So you can see why this demon was one of the most hated and feared. But what could you do about it? Well, there were a few tactics you could try. To start with, you'd need to acquire physical protection by way of expertly crafted incantations and talismans. Handmade, intricately carved or fashioned out of clay or carved from stone, these items were often amulets to be worn or earthen plaques to be hung on the walls. They could be little figurines or sizable tablets, but it was who and what was on them that was the most important. Believe it or not, if you were a pregnant woman seeking protection or had small children you were desperate to protect from the heartless fiend Lamashtu, you needed an amulet with Pazuzu on it. You also needed a masterfully inscribed tablet with exacting powerful spells meant to ward off Lamashtu. That's right. You needed to kiss up to one demon to get them to protect you from the other one. You had to choose the lesser of two evils. Strange reliefs in stone from this period in time suggest you needed physical as well as spiritual assistance to help you guard against a brutal attack from Lamashtu. So you would need a physician and an exorcist. So, like dating, really. The mystical stones recorded the dramatic scene. They show a pregnant woman lying on a raised table or bed. She is closely accompanied by her physician on one side and her exorcist on the other. The doctor to care for her physically, and the exorcist to carefully invoke the demon Pazuzu to come forth and safeguard the laboring woman and her newborn. He would also recite the magic spells inscribed upon the clay tablets, creating a supernatural force to keep Lamashtu away. Standing beside the doctor and the exorcist, more protection is brought by defensive spirits called Lulau and Ugalu, a bearded man spirit and a lion-headed man spirit. Apparently, even all of this wasn't completely enough to ensure safety, though, because on the reverse side of the stone, showing the pregnant woman with her doctor and her exorcist hard at work, there's also an array of 7 fierce animal-headed spirits. All are shown in warrior stance. These beastly spirits are thought to be enemies of Lamashtu. So, why would Pazuzu, a known evil force himself, be willing to help you defend yourself and your children from the demon Lamashtu? Well, demons, just like regular people and relationships in life, are complicated. To begin with, the word demon in modern times carries a purely negative connotation. In ancient times, when the word was relatively new and was translated from its Greek origin, demon simply meant spirit, and a spirit could be good, evil, or even both. In historic Mesopotamia, demons weren't necessarily evil at all, and even some who predominantly were, they could still choose to be kind and helpful if they wanted to. Pazuzu is one such demon, and the action of a person wishing to be protected by him by wearing an amulet with his image upon it was thought to be seen as an honor by the demon. He would likely be flattered that you were turning to him for help, and he would direct his ill winds against the terrible Lamashtu. We have a similar policy regarding membership here in the Midnight Library, coincidentally. Which reminds me, tonight's reading is brought to you by the Witch's All-Seeing Eye Amulet. Who can keep you from dreadful harm and safe in life by and by? Who has magical beauty and protective charm? The Witch's All-Seeing Eye. Put it in your wallet or purse. Wear it upon your person. It'll keep you from illness or a hearse, and your luck can never worsen. The encircled 5-pointed star with the eye that never shuts. It sees you wherever you are and guards you no matter what. No demon, no goblin, no devil can come. All of these will neglect you. Witches, however, there may be some, 'cause it's their eye that protects you. Witches in your closet, witches in your car. They're invisible but very close by. The magic circle and 5-pointed star, the Witch's All-Seeing Eye. The Witch's All-Seeing Eye amulet can be found for sale at our information desk, on the beer mats in the Broom and Fang pub, and in the pockets of your luckiest friends. Rumors that the magic symbol is embroidered upon my own intimate apparel are unfounded, mostly. Now, let's honor, let's say acknowledge a few of these demons by listing some places where they can be found in modern times, even though the settings they appear in may have embellished their characters and abilities for creative purposes. First and foremost, most people and cultures consider Satan to be the demon in charge of all the other demonic beings, should, you know, any of them exist. And when it comes to appearances in popular culture, he easily takes the lead and wins hands down when it comes to the category of most popular demon. He is diabolically displayed in artwork, fan fiction, theater, music, literature of nearly every variety, and countless movies, often as the starring role, and having alternative names such as Lucifer, Beelzebub, and Mephistopheles. A couple of our favorite depictions of him here in the library are in the films Devil's Advocate and Legend. And we, of course, find the prolific writings about him in the Bible to be most compelling and convincing. Other demons that have found their way into films have appeared cloaked in other beings, such as goats, dogs, wolves, and cats, giving them the coveted gift of shapeshifting, which we understand is extremely useful. But some have the honor of inhabiting a human form. Azazel is one such avenging demon who is even capable of jumping from human to human by way of the slightest touch in the 1998 film Fallen. But historically, Azazel is a demon documented in both the Christian and Hebrew Holy Scriptures as a supernatural being that dwelled in the desert and to whom sacrifices were made in order for the sins of the people to be atoned for. And certainly, one of the most terrifying on-screen representations ever conjured was that of the hero of tonight's reading, our boy Pazuzu. For nearly 50 years, the film The Exorcist has reigned as quite possibly the most horrifying portrayal of demonic possession as Pazuzu takes over the body and soul of a 12-year-old little girl. The film leans towards implying that it is Satan that has her firmly in his clutches, but it is Pazuzu who is shown image-wise in both large and small forms. And the book of the same title confirms the star of the show is Pazuzu. For those seeking him out, an enormous 20-foot-tall statue of Pazuzu can also be seen for your viewing pleasure in the Louvre Museum in Paris. You may find it interesting, as we do, that Lamashtu is yet to find the perfect starring role that will put her on par in popularity with Pazuzu, although she has made significant inroads by being featured in role-playing games, as well as the focus of songs, books, and some movie and television productions. Perhaps she needs a new agent. If you decide to take her on, we suggest that you entertain the thought of meeting with Pazuzu first, just in case things get out of hand. Now, those of you who chose to partake of our demon cake, if you're feeling quite like yourselves, well, that's wonderful. Those who are feeling distinctly out of character, well, we'll meet you down at the Broom and Fang later on tonight. Drinks are on us. The recipe for the cake can be found in the notes for tonight's reading. Please allow our dashing Mr. Darling to escort you safely as far as the veranda. After that, you're on your own. Good luck. I mean, good night. Good night, my dear guests.
Positively riveting story on demons tonight, madam. Now, let me show you a few more features of your stuffed demon gift, shall I?
There's more.
Look, when you press his tummy, his little eyes glow. And if we crank his tail...
Oh, a fireball drops out of his bottom.
Yes! If you like, we can refill him with the candy kind.
Mr. Darling, you've spoiled me so.
I wouldn't have it any other way, madam.
The Midnight Library is proudly brought to you by everyone at Astonishing Legends. The excellent sound design is by Chris and Jason at Sounds Like an Earful. Keep the Midnight Library open by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Find the League of Lady Gravediggers, the Broom and Fang Pub, and the Witch's All-Seeing Eye merch in our Redbubble shop at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.